How do we choose schools for our kids, and can policy reduce segregation in the classroom? Welcome to Box Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Our cities are diverse, but the schools in those cities are often less so. School segregation potentially creates inequality and means that minorities don't integrate as well. We know some of the mechanisms that create this segregation, but it's extremely hard to evaluate their contribution to why these schools are segregated. New research by Hessel Oosterbeek of the University of Amsterdam, Shandor Shobago of the University of Groningen, and Bas van der Klauw of VU University Amsterdam has been able to tease apart the contribution of five factors in the segregation we see in Amsterdam's school system. Bas, who is a CEPR fellow, is on the line now to talk about what they discovered. Bas, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me.
In most places, there's no deliberate policy or law to segregate schools, but nevertheless, we often see de facto segregation. How big is this effect?
The effect is pretty big if you look at how segregated schools really are. And if we would move to a situation where there's no segregation, we would have to move a very substantial share of the kids to get equally distributed populations within each school.
We intuitively think, as I referred to in the introduction, that this is a bad thing, but is there clear evidence that this is so?
There is some evidence that segregation could have adverse effects on educational outcomes. It's not always clear that that's really the case. So there's an argument against it, is that schools might specialize or might give particular classes which are suited for a more homogeneous group rather than a heterogeneous group. So it's not always the case that it's a really bad thing, but usually people dislike the idea of a very strong segregation.
Looking at your work, it seems that Amsterdam seems a very good place for economists to research this topic because of the lack of restrictions over which school children can go to. How are schools allocated in Amsterdam?
So Amsterdam has an almost ideal situation to study this. So there's free school choice, which basically means every kid who has a particular level can go to any school which offers this level in the Netherlands. So even outside Amsterdam, kids can go basically to any school they like. And schools are not allowed to select kids. So the only restriction they have is if a kid has a level, which is determined by the primary school, they have to accept this school. So that makes it ideal because we really know to which schools students want to go to without them having the risk they won't be admitted to these schools.
You can get the children's addresses and test scores from the schools, but how were you able to find out about their family background? Because we need that to research segregation.
Yeah, so we have data on all the kids who move from primary school to secondary school. We know where they live. And what we managed to do is to combine the data on the preferences of the schools where they want to go to combine those to the administrative data which we have in the Netherlands. And if we combine those data, we can build a big data set which contains background information on the parents, where they live, how many kilometers they have to travel to school. So we can basically build a very rich data set. So this data is stored at Statistics Netherlands, and we can exploit that to study the school choices of kids.
Before we look at those results that you got, there is one other surprising feature of Amsterdam's school system. Certainly, I didn't know about it. That is the ability tracking for 12-year-olds, the streaming of 12-year-olds. How does this affect school choice? How also do you account for this in your data?
What happens at the end of primary school is that the grade 8 teacher in primary school makes an advice on which level the kids have. And that is a very strict tracking mechanism. So it's based on the test scores which the pupils do. So during primary education, they make a number of test scores and that results in a particular level. And a student can only choose a school which offers the level at which they are tracked. So that means that if you have, for example, an academic advice, you should choose a school which has an academic advice. If you have a vocational advice, you should look for a school which has a vocational. And this has a very big impact because the difference in tracking are quite substantial between demographic groups, to say it that way. So between different populations, minority kids, they on average have lower tracking levels than the non-minority kids. Kids from richer families on average have higher tracking than kids from poorer families.
And in the data, how do you represent this?
So we do two things. We look at the overall segregation and we look at segregation within tracked groups. So we look at segregation within groups of students who have the same advice. So that means that it's not that we say, okay, the minority kids, they go to different schools because they have a different tracking, but we compare a minority kid with a non-minority kid who live in the same neighborhood, who have the same tracking advice.
You're looking at five potential sources of segregation in schools. You've got residential segregation, preferences, the assignment mechanism, ability tracking, and what you call statistical noise. What was the relative contribution of each?
Basically, out of these five potential factors, there's two which are important, and that's the ability tracking and the preference heterogeneity. The ability tracking explains about half or less, slightly less than half of the segregation. The other half is preference heterogeneity. And that simply means that kids from a different background put different schools on their preference list. Surprisingly, the residential segregation, which is also present in Amsterdam, doesn't explain so much of the segregation in schools. The noise doesn't do too much. The capacity constraints, which there are at schools, doesn't do anything. It's really the preference heterogeneity and the ability tracking.
It's surprising that residential segregation doesn't seem to be contributing very much. Were you surprised by that result?
Yeah, we were very surprised by that result. But when we looked a little bit further into the data, school density in Amsterdam is really high. So there's many schools which you can go to within, to say it really Dutch, a short biking distance from your house. So, and most kids, they don't mind biking 4 or 5 kilometers to a school. And that means that you have a very rich choice set of schools.
One of the most unusual aspects of Amsterdam is the density of schools. And as you pointed out, the policies for assigning schools are very different in Amsterdam than they are in many other places in Europe or North America. So if we were looking at transferring your results to places that define catchment areas or have fewer schools, can we generalize from your results to say something about school segregation in those places?
Yeah, that would be much harder. Although I think that the fact that you have catchment areas, they already define to a large extent how the population of a school would look like. One thing which is then important is that parents may be more careful in choosing the location where they live. So in Amsterdam, where you live doesn't have any influence on where you go to school. If you have catchment areas, it might be that residential segregation might increase a little. And that might in fact affect the school segregation more. Although I think that our results would show that preference heterogeneity is a strong thing. I don't think that that's a very specific thing for Amsterdam. And it might be an underlying driving factor in many more cities.
You ran counterfactual experiments to investigate the impact of possible policies to reduce segregation. How effective are the policies that are being used at the moment?
At the moment, what the municipality is doing is trying to relocate some schools, try in fact the size of schools and those kind of things. We find that these things are not very effective. The schools for which different groups have a preference for, they're so different that even if you take out one school, they will go to another school which has the same composition of pupils. So these policies don't work too well. What we do find is that if you really want to reduce segregation, you should think about quotas. And quotas basically mean that in any school, there's a maximum number of places reserved for a particular group of pupils. And you can think in soft and in hard quotas. And a soft quota is something like, okay, we reserve these places for these people. If the other group doesn't take up the places, the first group can take these places again. This doesn't work. So if you really want to do something about segregation, what we find is that you should work with hard quotas. The key problem of hard quotas is that you're really going to restrict kids from going to a particular school. And some schools will keep empty seats while there's still a waiting list to go to the school of one of the two groups, in a sense. That's a very unpopular thing, I think. And it's also what we find. It reduces, let's say, the match-specific utility or the welfare which kids derive from going to a particular school. So what we find is that you can do something about segregation, but it's something which goes at the expense of a lot of welfare which kids can derive from going to school.
It also might not be politically possible as well, mightn't it? So is the conclusion that a certain amount of segregation in schools is just a fact of life?
Yes. Last year there were elections and there was a new local government. And there was a lot of stuff in their agreement about reducing segregation. Any measure they try to make has a lot of opposition from parents, from schools. So it's a very sensitive thing to do. It's a difficult thing to tackle. And there's a big, let's say, participation constraint. So one of the things we have in Amsterdam is that everybody has to participate in the public school system, so there are no private schools. But what you see is that if the local government would push it too much, you see that some people are looking for schools outside Amsterdam and bring them to one of the municipalities which are next to Amsterdam, which offer a more segregated school. So this participation constraint makes it pretty hard to really do something about the segregation.
Is there going to be any follow-up work on this, Bas? You're going to be looking at this topic again?
Yes. So now we have tried to model, like, where does segregation come from? And the one thing we want to do is we want to study, like, okay, what is the effect of the segregation? How does it influence the academic achievement of kids, their follow-up education? How important is it that you can go to one particular school rather than another particular school? So we're now using the data which we have and collecting additional information on academic outcomes simply to see how relevant is it really that a kid can go to this particular school and not to a school with a different composition.
Well, we'll be looking out for that, Bas, and maybe we'll have you back on Vox Talks to talk about the results that you get. Bas, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I enjoyed it.
We're doing a lot of Vox Talks on education at the moment, which probably shows how much original research is being done in this area. And this is a great example of it. The paper's called Why Are Schools Segregated? Evidence from the Secondary School Match in Amsterdam, and it's discussion paper 13462, if you like looking it up that way. And don't forget our recent Vox Talks on why girls score less in maths tests and also the economics of parenting. Find them by subscribing on your podcast platform. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research, bringing you the best new research in economics every Friday. So subscribe now or look up the archive at www.voxeu.org/vox-talks.